we say, Lord, but to come and open our hearts in thanksgiving and praise for thy loving kindness and mercies to us. For, Lord, you have taken care of all of our physical needs. You've watched over us and blessed us. Bless us every day with blessings that are loaded upon us. And yet, Father, as we consider the greatest of all things that we have received from thy gracious hand, it is, Lord, that Jesus Christ belongs to us and we belong to him. And his own precious blood was shed on Calvary's cross to wash our sins away. And today we know it is well with our souls. Today we know we have peace with God. Today we know we have a home in heaven. And that one day, very soon, though our seat will be empty here, yet we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we have a great hope. And Lord, we know that this world may, with its twists and turns, be a difficult place at times. And yet our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Lord, help that truth to rest in our hearts. Help us, we pray, not to be cast down, not to be discouraged, not to be disillusioned in any way, but to stand into our possessions and the blessings we have because we are in union with Jesus, our Savior. Lord, I pray that there would be joy in every heart, every believing heart. And yet, Father, we're also mindful that there may well be someone here who has never come through to the Savior yet. They're still in their sins. They don't know peace in their heart. They don't know what it means to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And I pray that whether in this meeting now or listening online, that, Father, it might please thee to do that deep and effectual work in every soul. So hear our prayers this evening, and bless the one who will testify, bless our brothers, you will come to give greetings. And then today we also acknowledge with thanksgiving the service this afternoon, a special ordination meeting. And we pray that as our brother Schultz comes and shares with us, that you would bless him as he speaks the word tonight. Lord, hear our prayers now. Settle us in with thyself. We ask all this in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Number 522. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Remain seated while we sing this hymn.
Thank you.
Now I know that some voices may be a bit hoarse after all the singing and speaking today, and if you think you're hoarse, well, Jill has lost her voice. It's a terrible thing when a wife loses her voice. Now hang on now, I don't want any of you to take that in the wrong way. But I have reason to be hoarse because we've been singing and been involved in work and so on. But if you haven't been doing that all week, then you have no excuse, and your singing is very good. On this last verse, let us really sing out to the Lord's praise. I am so glad that I've learned to trust thee. And that was something we were taught by the Spirit of God. It wasn't by our own education. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me and will be with me till the end. Final verse. We are very happy to welcome you to this evening service today, and we had considered some weeks ago whether we would go forward with our evening service today because of the nature of the day it's been, with a special service this afternoon, and yet our men thought, no, it would be the best thing. We wouldn't want someone to come to the church and then find a closed sign on the door, and also for many of our faithful online viewers that enjoy and look forward to the evening service, well, we didn't want to disappoint them either. It's always a good thing just to finalize the Lord's Day in His house with His people and before the Word of God it being opened. So we're glad that you're here, and we encourage you in the things of the Lord. Let me just remind you, please, of some important ministry that we have going on this week. And it is still a very steady time for us. You know, it's Holiday Monday tomorrow, Victoria Day, and I hope that you'll have a good rest with your family and enjoy that. And yet there's still going to be the gym fellowship tomorrow night, and why not? Because it's an opportunity of just enjoying yourself. And one brother said, oh, I think I'll come along tomorrow night. I'm not working today, and I might come along to the fellowship time tomorrow night. So look forward to that from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and you're welcome to come along. Then Tuesday, 7:15, the ladies will be having their ongoing Bible study in the book of Philippians, and things to think about will be there. Wednesday night, I want us to again come together and think. I want to remind you of some of the benefits and blessings that have come out of this week from our presbytery, and to be thinking about items for prayer and to give you a report of what has been going on. So we'll think about that on Wednesday evening. And then Thursday is a special night for our school, primarily, as we have the Whitfield Spring Concert. And that is not just isolated to our school family, but it's also for our church family. And if you would like to come along, 7 p.m., note that time on Thursday night. Now, it's a double week also for the ladies, because on Friday morning at 9 a.m., they have a Bible study. Reason for that is because the dates got mixed up because of some previous thing that happened, and so Jill wanted to be sure to catch up with the order of the dates. And there's only a couple more of these left until the break at the end of June. Some advance announcements there, and one that I leave with you again, and it has to do with the support that we want to have for our young people regarding our camp the denominational camp in July of this year. Next Lord's Day will be the time to get all those forms in. So young people, if you haven't signed up for that yet, please speak to our brother Jonathan and be sure that you get those forms in next week. And then I was reminding you about the Mexico mission trip and how we would want to encourage the two ladies, the two young ladies who are going to go to that on that trip in the will of God. And if you can help in some financial, practical way, along with your praying, you mark your church envelope, Mexico mission trip, and we'll be sure that that goes into the general account to be of assistance for them. We're looking forward to helping them the best we can. Let me encourage you to remember in prayer Reverend John Wagner and his wife Kim. We have been asking the Lord to help Kim because of her medical issues over the last while. Well, we heard some sad news this week, and it has to do with our brother John Wagner too, because John felt the burden, and the burden for taking care of his wife and the need he was going to have as her condition seemed to be worsening. And so our brother submitted his resignation to the pulpit in Colombia just this past week. And that was a sad thing for us. And we held off announcing that today because he was notifying his own congregation today about that. And we didn't want that to go out this morning. So we ask for your prayers for John and also for his wife Kim and their family as he will be making some changes. He is a faithful servant of God. He has served the Lord for many years in Colombia. And we pray that God would help him and just bless their family during this difficult time, and certainly a change for them. So remember the Wagners in your prayers. One announcement that is not on the bulletin here, and next, I had announced a few weeks ago that next Lord's Day, the 26th of May, we would be commencing some fellowship classes in the afternoon at 5 p.m. We want to just delay that by 1 week, so it'll not be next Lord's Day afternoon, but the following one, the 1st of June, the first Lord's Day of June, in the afternoon at 5 o'clock for 1 hour, we want to hold some classes, and they're fellowship classes which will be outlining things to do with what it means to be a member of the local church and what it means to be a part of this fellowship and looking at some of those detailed issues. And if you're interested at all in any of those subjects, we encourage you to come along. And it doesn't mean that you, if you're not a member, you wouldn't come. We just want to open it up to everybody, and it will be a time of learning more about what it means to be an integral part of a local church and of our fellowship here. And so we look forward to that. We want to run that for 4 weeks, so it'll be right from the beginning of June, the four Lord's Days of June at 5 in the afternoon. Please keep that in your own calendar, and we'll have that in the bulletin for next Lord's Day. Those are all the announcements we have right now. We're going to look to our brother Richard Craig, and he's going to come and share with you at this time some greetings from Jamaica. We've been very thankful that our brother was able to come here and to be with us. Come along, brother. No stranger to us here. We enjoyed his ministry this morning in the adult and young adult Bible classes, and he's been staying with Hyacinth and Clifton in their home, enjoying good fellowship. We were also sorry that Randy Gunnings could not join him on this trip. Randy also gives assistance to our brother in the ministry, but because of some family issues, remember before I told you Randy's shop had a fire, and he was working on rebuilding that and then didn't get his visa in time, so a number of issues transpired. But do remember our brethren in your prayers as they are seeking to serve the Lord in the sunny island of Jamaica.
Yeah, man.
It never, there's no clouds ever there, right? It's always sunny.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. It's a great joy for me to be here once again to restore fellowship with each and every one of you. We do bring you greetings from our congregation there in Little London, Jamaica, and everyone indeed were delighted when I was leaving to come here because they have you in their heart greatly. The congregation in Little London would like to express wholeheartedly our thanksgiving. And what I mean by that, the congregation there would like to thank this church and the churches all around for their support in putting together for us to have a new bus on the road. I can recall the last time I was taking Brother George to the airport, and just after dropping him off on my way back, it broke down. And so we thank you wholeheartedly for your financial support, for your prayers in every way indeed. And when I do say that, I do not say that lightly. It comes indeed from the very depths of our hearts. I would like to thank each and everyone who I came in contact with personally. I thank you all for your support. I thank you all for your prayers. Personally and publicly, I would like to say a special thanks to two persons here tonight. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to Sister Hyacinth and her husband Clifton for putting me up in their home and also putting up with me. And I do thank them sincerely for the kind hospitality and for their generosity. I'd like to say thanks also publicly to Pastor Larry. Now, I may see him more often as I see you, but I say thanks to him in a very special and a very real way. You know, if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be possible for me to be addressing you this Lord's Day evening. So thank him very much for all the support over the years and for the opportunity of coming here and to partake in the Presbyterian meetings and every activities therein. So once again, we do bring you greetings. We have you in our prayers. As the Apostle Paul says, we have never ceased to pray for you. We have never ceased to remember you in our prayers. And Brother Randy and I, we were talking on a different subject now, and our minds were taken back. You know, challenges and difficulties are a must in our lives. But as Brother Randy and I, we were talking, and our minds, our remembrance took us back when the work began in Jamaica. And it started out with a lady who is present tonight in this congregation, and how the Lord moved greatly, mightily, and wonderful things he has done. And we do believe that wonderful things he will continue to do in the future. Please remember us in your prayers in Little London, in Jamaica. Pray that the work will continue, and most importantly, pray for us that souls will be saved for Christ's kingdom. Thank you very much.
Well, your words are kind, Richard, and I appreciate that, brother, but it's not my doing only at all for our brother being here. The presbytery certainly were the ones who brought Richard this time for the week of prayer, special meetings, and we just did a little background work, that was all. But we have good fellowship with our brother. Thank him for his kind words. And the greetings he brings to us from Jamaica, I can tell you they are very, very genuine. Because whenever we go down there, and I go down there in the prayer meeting, the people are always interceding for those outside their own little work. They're always praying for the people and the work here in Toronto, so it's meaningful. And regarding the bus, yes, the funds have been raised. We are set a target of $40,000 to be raised, and that target has been met. And we thank God for that, the contribution of many of you folks here and other churches in North America, for sure. So our brother is now going to be going back and doing some investigation to locate a bus. Would you pray that he will be directed now by the Lord? He's taken, so we don't want to get involved in something that is going to cause us any difficulties at all. We want to have the Lord's direction so we can be brought to the right vehicle that would be serviceable for many, many years. Brother, I had to laugh a bit. You said that the congregation in Jamaica were thankful when you were leaving. And I thought, well, you want to be careful about saying that. Let's hope they're as thankful when you get back there again to see you back. And it was a true thing when we were, the last time I was down in just November of 18, the bus, it's an old girl and has been on the road for a long time. And you can see the road from the inside of the bus. And that's not a good thing. The bus passes by when you're looking down at the floorboards. So it's time. But it has served us very, very well because it gets a beating. The roads are a challenge. But brother, we hold you up to the Lord. And we are excited to see what the Lord's going to do through your ministry. He's in training right now, going through online courses. So do remember our brother. And Brother Bannister, who is the chairman of our seminary committee, has been working with Richard, meeting with him an hour every week as they're going through a particular course, doing them now, beginning one at a time. And he is drawn closer in good fellowship with our brother. We appreciate that. And let's continue on holding them up in prayer. We're going to take up the offering now for the Lord's work, and we'll sing number 408. 408, remaining seated while the offering is received. Let's stand, please, and lift our hearts to the Lord on this final verse.
Thank you.
be seated. By one of the great blessings of having special meetings that have come in the last week for us, so many folks converge on the church, and we have the opportunity of having a variety of preachers and also those who are visiting, elders from our congregations. And the joy for us tonight is to welcome our brother Andy Roersma to our church tonight. He is an elder in our Cloverdale congregation. So I asked our brother to come and share a word of personal testimony, what the Lord has done in his own heart. And then as soon as he finishes, I'm going to ask our brother Schultz if he will follow right in behind that and share with us the word of God tonight and just close off the evening. It's been a very special day and a week. We're so happy that Milos, who really has come through this as his home congregation. For so many years, he was fellowship with us, and we knew him well, and he was an integral part of our congregation. We were sad, in one sense, from the day we heard that he was going to be taking his departure from us, because it left a vacancy in our own fellowship. But the Lord, what he has done in taking him away, has used him in another place. And today, as Brother was preaching this afternoon, really, it's the beginning of the work that they're going to be able to do there. And so, first of all, Brother Andy, you come, and then Brother Schultz following after.
Good evening, all. My voice is fine. I have no excuse. I'm glad to be here, happy to be here. I'm thankful how the Lord has worked in my life. He has blessed me. A long time ago, 63 years ago, he brought me into a Christian home, a young couple. I was their firstborn. Over the years, five more sons followed. So it was a family of six boys. A little bit rough in the house. I was the oldest, so it didn't bother me too much. Family was Christian, my mom and father. The Bible was read. We certainly knew the stories of the Bible. We knew of the Lord Jesus. We were faithful church attenders, morning service only. It went on for many years. 1978, the Lord brought a young lady into my life, Susan. We were together in that church all the time. We were both there when the church started in 1961. 5 and 2, I never noticed her till much later. We were married in 1980, and I'm very thankful for a wife who encourages me. Before that, we were involved in catechism classes in the Christian Reformed Church. Christian classes, we had catechism classes. When you finished your catechism class around age 18, you would give a confession of faith. You would be graduated. You would be a member of the church. You would partake in communion. And life is fine. A few years later, we had children. 1986, we were giving a third child, son, Daniel. 9 months, he developed seizures. And this has been an ongoing thing. A little while later, the church we were attending started to be much more worldly, changing direction, and the Lord took us out of that church, along with my folks, Susan's folks, and many other families. We're trying to start another Christian Reformed church. They said no. Praise the Lord. They said no. We were brought to a small church on Grosvenor Road. One of our people said, there's a pastor there, a young man who can really preach. Small congregation. We chatted with him, and we got to know him. We sat under his ministry, and that minister was the Reverend Gallagher. Things changed very much. I realized I was not saved. It was never preached in the Christian Reformed Church. I needed a Savior. And it was under his preaching that I did. I asked the Lord to come into my life. I'm so thankful for my family as well, that they sat under faithful preaching and it's just a blessing. 1992, became a deacon, was able to work within the church. My father became an elder. My father-in-law was the other elder. Again, life is good, and then, no, there's some troubles in the church. My father-in-law moved to another city. My father left the church, and we continued on this way. We had another deacon, a brother with us, Mr. Doug Routley, and good fellowship, faithful man. And one day we both had to give our testimony before the congregation, and we had the same verse, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth to me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. A great comfort. At this week of prayer, one fellow member said this verse in his prayer, and it makes my heart beat faster. It's that special verse that lightens you, speaks to you of the Savior's love, and lots of verses can do this, but that has even been referred to as Andy's verse, so I'm thankful for that one. We move a few years, and the Lord, he gave me a special burden. I was diagnosed with cancer, and the Lord was merciful in that it was diagnosed early. I was kind of diagnosed out of the blue. The doctor examined me, and he said, no problems. And for some reason, he asked me to get a blood test done. And I think that was the Lord putting it on his heart to have me checked further. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And after a year and a half treatments, declared clean. And the end of the treatment was end of February 2008. My first grandchild, daughter Lily, was born. And while you're dealing with that, new life in the family, and that is my marker now. Lily is now 11, so every birthday, I know how long the Lord has blessed me and given me remission from cancer, and we give him praise and honor. And now I am asked to be an elder, along with Alan Samuel in our congregation, and I thank the Lord. I have an opportunity to serve. The Lord has been most merciful, most gracious in my family, grandchildren, my children. The most part are serving the Lord. Youngest Stephen, no. Value your prayers for him to be saved. Daniel, I believe he is saved. I've heard him sing when he came out of operation once. First words were, God is good, God is good. So even there, young Daniel can praise the Lord for his goodness in his life. And I'm just so thankful for being taken out of a church that was not leading us right, bringing us under a ministry that showed us the way, and to be able to continue to serve there. And it's all God's blessing. To God be the glory, great things he has done in my life, my family. I give him praise. Thank you.
It is my joy to be here with you this evening as well, and I'm smiling. You're probably wondering, how long will I be? It has been a long day. And up until just before we left, I didn't know that I would speak in the evening. It looked like there would be no evening service. And then I was supposed to share a devotional. And I was wondering, well, what exactly I would share. I always bring these things before the Lord. And I spoke in assembly. in the school. And I told the students there I knew I would be speaking in assembly maybe a month ago. And every time I would speak on something, I would think, oh, that's what I'll share with the students. And then I preached on something else, and I thought, I'll speak on that. And then I had about 10 different messages in my mind, and I didn't know what I would speak on. And even this evening, I really did not know what I would share with you. Before I say anything more, I also thank the congregation here. Dear Pastor Saunders, Dr. and Mrs. McClellan, our sister Jill, who's not here, but for your hospitality, your kindness, the mentorship over the years, and the spiritual encouragement, and the prayerful and practical support of the church here. We are very indebted, and we are very thankful to the Lord for you. And it's also, we're mindful of the fact that we've been brought over here, that my wife could be here with me, and so it is something very relevant. We again thank you for being able to be here and have fellowship with you and glorify the Lord together. As I said, I was thinking of what I would share with you, and the Lord laid on my heart something that I've been sharing in different places where I've gone when trying to express some of what the Lord has done and how the Lord has brought us into the Czech Republic, with what burden, and out of what background. So it's a bit of a testimony as well for me. And in the midst of it all, I will also share something of a word I brought to the people some months ago, and we remembered that great and mighty man of God the Lord raised in Scotland those many years ago in the 16th century, John Knox. I'll read two portions of Scripture. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And we will read just verses 7 and 8, reading in Jesus' name, Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If you also turn to 1 Peter 5, 1 Peter 5, and I will just read from verse 8 and the beginning of verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The Lord was very gracious to me, and I did mention it in the few words that I spoke after the charge I was given from our brother, the Reverend Gallagher. The Lord was gracious in giving me a grandfather, an example, a witness right in my own home. I spent a good deal of time with that man of God, a man who was mighty in word and in deed, a mighty man of prayer. Left a huge impact on my life, and indeed on the life of our whole family, his own children, and then even to the third and fourth generation. My grandfather was a man who walked with the Lord. Every minute of the day, I spent one summer with him, with my brother, when I was 19 years old. And some of you heard this account, but many have not. Many of the ones that are here have not heard this. I was 19 years old. My brother was about 18 years old. And my grandfather would have been about 80 years old. We spent one summer with him, maybe 2 months. The communist regime came to an end in our country, and we had the freedom to go back and visit. Up until that time, up until 1990, it was not possible. And this was in 1991. We were back for the whole summer. My father sent us back to spend this summer with my grandfather. We spent morning till evening traveling. We visited many churches. And I said in different places, when traveling with that man, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd have the most miserable time in your life, because that's all you talked about and that's all you did. And you never knew what was coming on top of that, depending on where you were stopping and to whom you were speaking. And one such time, we were traveling in the middle of the week. We just had our traveling clothes on, and my grandfather stopped for lunch, and the waitress came up, and she was about 20 years old, I would guess, more or less our age. And my grandfather, the first thing that he said to her when she said if we would have anything to drink was this: just 4 words. He said it in Czech, obviously, but he said this: we three are priests. We three are priests. Now, we didn't look anything like priests. My brother and I think the only thing that woman could probably think of, maybe, if she even knew some Roman Catholic priests, there's not much religion of any sort in our land, but she would probably know, have an imagination of what maybe a priest looked like. So she just froze and looked us up and down, 19-year-old, 18-year-old, and an 80-year-old man, priests. Now, you know the Lord's word says, and even when I spoke of John Knox, one of the great messages of the Reformation, one of the points that was greatly emphasized was the universal priesthood of believers. It's not just the Roman Catholic priests that had the authority to do something, and had certain power given by God. No, it was not that at all. They didn't have any power. But the Lord made every saint, every saved person, saved by the blood of the Lamb, a priest and a king unto himself. And my grandfather loved to take these truths of the scripture, confront people with something they may have never heard before. So he said this: it is a great privilege for us to be kings and priests unto God, even through the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access, and we can worship the Lord, and we can read his word for ourselves. And the Lord speaks to us. We don't need any priest. We have a high priest. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of us is even a priest and a king unto God. My grandfather said this. When he said it, we were all, I was in shock. I was thinking, what was coming next? What is this all about? The woman, the young woman, was in double shock. And the next thing, after it wore off a little, maybe Some 15, 20 seconds later, my grandfather said, "Ask the woman a question. Did you hear anyone pray before?" Now, the young woman stuttered out, "No." She barely got that out. And the restaurant was very full. My grandfather usually spoke quite loudly. So I think at that point, many people were listening in. And my grandfather says, he just looks across the table at me and says, "Milosh, begin." So I was 19 years old, and my grandfather said this to me. And all in a flash, in just a matter of seconds, you know how it is, sometimes a flash of thoughts goes through your mind. The Lord really spoke to me, encouraged me, challenged me. At that moment, I realized how great a thing it is that I can know the Lord. And it was as if the Lord was saying to me, "Milosh, you say you know me? Here is your chance to give witness." And I was glad to do it. I was glad to do it. I prayed and I was glad to be able to pray, mention in my prayer of what the Lord did for me, for saving me from my sin, for dying on the cross for my sins, the Lord Jesus dying for me. So I prayed a shorter prayer and finished. My grandfather didn't even budge, and my brother's name is David. He was here today. And he said, "David, continue." So my brother prayed. And then my grandfather prayed. And the young woman stood there the whole time. And I am sure she never forgot that. I don't know what she made of it all. But my grandfather gave witness, we gave witness, and the Lord spoke to me at that time of my life in a special way of what it is to know the Lord and to have a man like that in your life. And when the Lord gave us a call into the Czech Republic, it came in 2006, I mentioned that. In a marvelous way, the Lord brought many, many different things together as special tokens for us at that time, reassurances of His call. This grandfather, this mighty servant of the Lord, died very shortly after that. He was an old man. He was 95 at that time. And I found out later, Pastor Saunders read the portion of Scripture that the Lord called us with. It was from Ezekiel 3:17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto Israel. Give them warning from me." I found out some months later, this was some months after my grandfather's funeral, that the last message that my grandfather heard, just weeks after the Lord called us, was on Ezekiel 3:17. When my grandfather died, the Lord closed a very significant chapter of our family history. As you can imagine, I described the type of man he was, and the Lord used him mightily in the lives of many people in our land, many churches, ministries. That, to me, the fact that the Lord took my grandfather at that time was something very notable. It was sobering. My grandfather, the day He died. Told my uncle who preached the last sermon he heard in church on Ezekiel 3:17. My grandfather told my uncle that that was the last day he's going to be on this earth, that the Lord is taking him home that day. He died that day in the evening. He was a man in touch with the Lord. The Lord led him throughout his life. He was different than anyone else I knew. You know, his great wish actually was that the Lord would take him home while he was preaching. Now, I've said that before, and I thought this over. I thought I'd be very sorry for the congregation if their minister collapsed and died right in the middle of a sermon. That'd be quite a shocking event. But the Lord didn't do that, but he did take him on the Sabbath day. He took him home. And just weeks before that, called us. No one knew for quite some time, maybe for at least another year, that the Lord did that. But the Lord called us with my wife. My wife and I were called of God to the Czech Republic. The Lord has done great things for us. And our going out hymn at that time, it was something we just went out with. We received it from the Lord as a hymn we would go out with, was a hymn we sang during the ordination service, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" We read those verses in 1 Peter, to be sober and vigilant, to be steadfast in the faith. We have that great portion, and my brother Gallagher mentioned it in the message, I believe. I'm hearing so many different messages, sometimes I forget what I heard when. But to take on the armor of God, something we have to do each day as we wake up in the morning, as we commit our day to the Lord, to take up that armor. Each day is a battle. And many Christians today, they really have this imagination in the churches that are out there, the goings-on in churches that, and I believe I remember reading a portion from Martin Lloyd-Jones, and I will say a few other things from him, but I believe it was he that said that people like to imagine themselves as sheep to be taken care of, and they have these very specific imaginations of how everything will just go very well and it'll be very rosy and very pleasant and easy, I suppose. But that is not the Christian life. The Lord calls us to battle each day. A battle against the flesh, battle against that corruption that is still within us, and of course in our own strength we can do nothing. It's only as you look to the Lord for His strength, as you look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, the Lord will do these things in your life, and you will mortify the deeds of the body by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. We are sheep, yes, the Lord's sheep, but we are also soldiers. And that great hymn that Isaac Watts wrote challenges everyone. It's a hymn full of questions, isn't it? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb. In the second stanza, the questions continue. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? I hope we can answer those questions. Of course, this world is not a friend to grace. It will not help you on to God. We fight against worldliness and the inroads the world makes into the church, even into our own lives. We pray that the Lord would cleanse us and keep us pure and holy before Him, that we would be sober and vigilant, steadfast in the faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just faith. Many people have some sort of a faith. Everyone has some sort of a faith. They believe in something. But it is faith in Christ that gives us the victory. We're very conscious of the fact that we are soldiers. I keep exhorting our people to remember that they are soldiers of the cross, to look to God for each day, to help them in their day-to-day battling for the Lord. For the last year and a half, our son Timothy has been ministering to students in his class and in his school. He's a good witness there. The Lord is working in his heart. And about a year ago, and I think it was when our Pastor Saunders was visiting, he was inviting him, one fellow, to the meeting. He didn't come, although he promised that he would come. So Timothy saw him on Monday, and I said, well, you talk to the fellow, because he invited him other times, and he promised, and he didn't come. And of course, it's a real challenge to come to a meeting. Most people have never been to a Christian meeting, a church meeting, and they've never been to any sort of meeting. They have no idea what that is, and they're afraid of it, and maybe nervous about it, and they're nervous about coming to your home, or nervous even talking to you. But Timothy has been ministering to these fellow students, and so he went back to that fellow, and he said, him, so where were you last night? And he said, well, Tim, you know, I was tired. Well, Timothy said to him, tired, were you? That will not hold you in good stead, or be in any good stead when you face the judgment seat of God, will it? So I said to Tim, you said that to him? He said, yeah. Good. Good. You tell him again. And that boy, 1 month ago, now that's a year later, Tim had another opportunity to minister to him, and they spent an hour and a half talking spiritually after particular events in the school that opened the door to speak to him spiritually. That boy knelt down in the change room there in school and asked the Lord to save him. He's 18 years old. Pray for him because he's been struggling. Everything in our society, his home, his family will fight against him. He has a battle on his hands. Real warfare. Pray for this young man. His name is Hugo. And our sister Jane, I just found out this week, she's one of the ladies that the Lord saved some years ago. She has a real burden for him. She prays for him every meeting. And I just found out that she went out of her way to write him a letter by Timothy, through Timothy, write him a letter and bring him a Bible. You see, he said he was going to get a Bible himself, but it seemed that he kept putting it off, and he hasn't come yet. And so she went out of her way to minister to this young man, and I just heard the report that he was very thankful. Martin Lloyd-Jones was speaking, giving a lecture on John Knox. I believe it was for the 400th anniversary of the establishment of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland and the history of the church in that land. And he was speaking in Scotland at some conference. And he brought a challenging word about John Knox. I remembered my grandfather, the mighty man that he was. And many of these things that Martin Lloyd-Jones said of John Knox highlighted were a special challenge and encouragement. I'll leave you with these few thoughts at the very end, even as we remember them, which have gone before us. And we consider the end of their life. The witness that they had for the Lord. John Knox was one of these great men of God. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Think what you like of me. I like to look at and to read of a big man in the things of God. In an age of pygmies, such as this," he said that of his day. I don't know what he would say about our day, but "in an age of pygmies, such as this, it is a good thing to read about great men. We are all so much alike and of the same size, but here were giants. I frankly am an admirer of a man who can make a queen tremble." What made these men what they were? What were their convictions? What did they teach? Well, they believed in the authority of the Bible. The pre-Reformation church was asleep under scholastic philosophy. Great intellect, yes, education, all of that, but great deadness. I look at some of the churches today, and the Lord sent us to be a voice of warning. I came out of a denomination. I sometimes hear it is going downhill at such an accelerated rate. The church where my wife's parents go, there's a young minister there. He's an apostate. Now, you listen to, I can't listen to it. You listen to a few minutes of that philosophical garbage. And people listen to that, and it goes over their head. They have no idea what is really being said. And then they think, "Oh, maybe I'm just not educated enough, and I just don't understand everything," and so on. And they think they go to church. They support ministers like that. And they have absolutely nothing. Nothing. This was the state of the church before the Lord raised up men like John Knox in Scotland, and of course Luther before him in Germany and Europe. And these men discovered the great doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones stresses as a second very significant point. Their concern was not, how can I get a bit of help, and how can I get some healing or guidance, happiness, peace? We like to hear about those things. A friend who will help me in loneliness? No. They saw themselves before this almighty, sovereign God, and the one question was, How can a man be just with God? And then there was the great central doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. They did not feel sorry for the Lord Jesus on the cross. They saw him bearing their sins. They saw him as a substitute. That makes me think of that word the Lord Jesus Christ said to the daughters of Jerusalem. Even as he was on his way to Calvary, the Lord said to them, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Matthew Henry wrote that the death of Christ was his victory and triumph over his enemies. It was our deliverance and the purchase of eternal life for us. And therefore, let us weep for our own sins and look unto him. Martin Lloyd-Jones said in his day, "A saint for many today is one living like Christ, imitating Christ. But it does not matter what you believe. You might deny the deity of Christ, his miracles, his resurrection, as long as you try to live like him." "My friends," he said, "John Knox and other men risk their lives day after day just to deny such teaching and to proclaim that it is Christ that makes you Christian. The power of God, and that a man is justified by faith alone, without works, by the grace of God. And the battle for justification by faith alone is on again." He said that in his day, and how we need to be reminded of that again. As churches go away from the truth, away from the whole counsel of God, they become more and more liturgical and ritualistic, and certainly empty of all power and God's blessing. Now, these men had power in prayer, and they had power in preaching. My grandfather's a mighty man of prayer, and he prayed for us. He prayed for me. I believe I'm largely here because of his prayers. In this point of my life, it is because the Lord has answered all of his cries for me, that the Lord would use me in his work. Power in prayer, power in preaching. Do you think John Knox could make Mary, Queen of Scots, tremble with some polished little essay? Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Today we have discussion. Let the young people say what they think. Let us win them by letting them speak. We will show them that, after all, we are nice, decent chaps." We're like one of them. Now, people don't like to hear these kinds of things today. But he said, was John Knox like one of the people? Was John Knox a friendly, nice chap with whom you could have a discussion? Thank God he was not, he said. Scotland would not become what it became. I thank the Lord for raising Dr. Ian Paisley those many years ago. Ulster would not be what it is if the Lord didn't raise that man. I would not be here. I would not be standing in this place if the Lord didn't raise that man and use him in a mighty way. What made these men what they were? What was the secret of it all? It was God. God moved in their life. They looked to Christ for all things, and the Lord gave them an unusual boldness. If I could just be a little echo of a man like Knox, even of a man like Dr. Paisley, or even of a man like my grandfather, the church would be much blessed. May the Lord help us to remember those who've gone before us. Who've spoken unto us the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. The Lord is the same, He has the same power. The Lord can do that for you and me as we look to Him, as we desire to serve Him and live for His glory. The Lord will give us more and more power and strength to proclaim His word. I thank the Lord that I know His presence in the ministry there. I've known it, and I'm very conscious that's my place. I feel always a bit strange going somewhere else. I also preach in Czech, so it's a bit difficult now to make the switch just very quickly. It takes a few weeks, I would say, even. And I'm mostly in the Czech Bible now. And so I say all that to emphasize that the key is to be in the center of the Lord's will. And you will know the Lord's blessing there. In some ways, I'm almost nervous being away from that calling. And I thank the Lord for giving His word Sabbath by Sabbath and midweek meeting by midweek meeting. Because if the Lord doesn't give us a word, and it doesn't give us the power to proclaim His word, we have nothing. We have nothing. And may the Lord always keep that fear in my heart, that there would be a fear of going into the pulpit and of seeking His power and help. There would be this need and understanding of His, of the need of His strength and power in proclaiming His word. I pray every day that the Lord would fill me with the Holy Ghost for whatever lies ahead. I realize that's what we need every day. Each Christian, not just the minister, every believer as he is in that spiritual warfare, battling on. Our dear Dr. Allison, and we pray for him every day. And the Lord has blessed his ministry to me. And he said in one of his messages that half the battle for the Christian is knowing, realizing that he's in a battle. Half the battle is just realizing that. And that's a good start. And then you look to the Lord and pray, and indeed you'll be sober and vigilant and steadfast in the faith. Well, may the Lord bless these thoughts to your hearts. I subscribe to the substandards of the denomination. When Martin Lloyd-Jones gave this message on John Knox, he really ended with another verse from Hebrews chapter 10, which says, hold fast to the profession. And he said, hold fast to the confession. And brethren, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith, standing on the word of God and the heritage we've received, we've been blessed with. And we will continue to endeavor to point others to that old faith, because there is none other. There's only one. And it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts and bless this whole day to us, a long day. It may be a day of encouragement and rejoicing on the one hand, and also of much edification and a building up in the faith, and also a day of the realization for the need of being sober and vigilant in this daily battling we have, we're involved in, engaged in, as we live for the Lord, as we minister unto our Lord and God. So please remember us in prayer, as we will be leaving on Wednesday. We'll not be able to make it to the prayer meeting. We leave in the afternoon, but we thank this church and these people for your prayers, and we covet that you pray for us more, and you continue to pray for this ministry to which the Lord called us. Thank you for your attention, for your time. The Lord bless you richly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, our brother has appealed for us to remember him in prayer, and we commend him to the Lord and his dear wife and their family and the entire ministry over in the Czech Republic. And we'll just close our meeting now in prayer. Father, we're thankful for this day, thankful for the evidence of your presence with us. We pray, Father, to watch over our brother Richard as he returns to Jamaica. We're thankful for our brother Andy and his testimony this evening, for saving grace in him, and for our brother Milosz as he has shared with us a portion of his own testimony and his desire and request for our prayer for him and for that work. Let us not be forgetful. And so, Lord, part us now in thy fear and with thy rich blessing. Take us to our homes now in safety. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.